Doesn't it?
It does. It's, I don't know. It feels like years and years because everything in our world is so sped up. It feels like everything takes, it feels like last week was like 2 months ago, so.
That's a really like existential comment.
That was not the time. It's Friday. We gotta be happy.
Yes, it's a time for celebration. This is our 150th episode.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, Gabe, you're...
Why it comes right before such an important match.
Yeah, yes. Seriously. I timed it perfectly.
All part of the plan.
Evil laugh.
All those weeks that we've missed, that was totally intentional.
You don't know. It might have been. All right, gentlemen, we are here now. We are convening for the first time since the UEFA Super Cup, which, as we will recall, went to Atletico Madrid in extra time. Lots has changed in the past 6 months, though, and we have a big league derby taking place tomorrow. Gabe, how you feeling?
I'm personally a little sick, but I'm feeling, you know, pretty good otherwise. I mean, this is... been maybe the worst Real Madrid season in recent memory, but you know what? That's cool. That's fine. I'm cool. Everything's good.
Not like you don't have any trophies to fall back on or anything
right, exactly.
like that.
Everything's fine. People complaining about Real Madrid right now really need to shut their mouths a little bit. It's okay.
Yeah, I see you going off on Twitter on the regular, and it is justified, I must say.
We have very normal people who follow me and, you know, follow our site and send us really angry Facebook messages. That's, like, my favorite thing. We get these Facebook messages from people that are like, why are you starting Bale? You gotta keep him on the bench. Vinicius is playing better right now. It's like, yeah, man, I'll do that. I'll do that. Good point.
I'll tell Solari right now. Oh, God. Yeah,
the Managing Madrid Facebook page is one of my guilty pleasures.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
High-end quality fandom is what that is.
Quality content. Decent.
Yeah, you know, they're like the cousins of Yankees fans.
Exactly.
Oh, like the goodness. Second cousins, though, right? Because I think Manchester City are the direct cousins of Yankees fans.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We could discuss the bandwagon nature of that, but we'll leave that for another time.
I just mean that Manchester City is like half owners of NYCFC with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true. Very true.
That's the only reason. Otherwise, yeah, Real Madrid is basically the Yankees of this sport. I think there's a very good comparison.
And
worse fandom though, definitely.
Yeah,
Real Madrid fans definitely worse.
And there has been no shortage of things to complain about this season, as you said, Gabe. It is one of the worst seasons in recent memory for Real Madrid, and yet here they are in third, just two points back of Atletico, and they can jump them into second with a win tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel pretty shocking given where Real Madrid was just maybe a month ago. But, I mean, this has been a really weird league campaign with both Barcelona and Atletico dropping points seemingly random. And Madrid still managing to have, not, I wouldn't even say a puncher's chance, but like someone who's been knocked out but, you know, woke up during the count type boxing chance of maybe getting back into this. But... I mean, yeah, it's surprising. There was a point in this season where people were genuinely talking about whether Madrid was going to even make the Champions League. So, I mean, turning it around to this extent is a genuine positive.
How much credit do you give Solari for this?
People, I do give him some credit. I mean, anyone who listens to our show, which I would imagine your audience probably doesn't, has heard that Keon and I both really, really don't rate him as a coach. But when you inject a new coach into an atmosphere like Real Madrid, you actually do see, and there is a noticeable shift across the board in this sport where if you bring in a new coach, people play better. I mean, the team, that's why they have, you know, coaches that are basically specialists at coming in and helping relegation-threatened teams avoid relegation. And in our case, it was, you know, in Real Madrid's case, they bring in this new coach, and the team does actually look worse, but they manage to get results at first, and then the team kind of pulls it together, and once they, like, roll into that results, get, you know, some of these results, they play with more confidence, and when they play with more confidence, they actually do play up much closer to their actual talent level, which is what they've managed to do. But yeah, I mean, like, in terms of actual tactical changes, I don't credit him at all. He is a very bad tactical coach. He doesn't have really a sense of what to do when and how to exploit the team's weaknesses. But he is a person who has given a lot of trust to the young players. And Madrid is a squad that's built, and this was the year to start doing that. So if Lopetegui wasn't going to do that, then it actually does seem to me, in the long run, the right thing to do to bring in Solari and say, look, just make sure that we, you know, that Madrid doesn't get embarrassed this season, and let's get some of these young players rolling. Let's get Marcos Llorente, you know, into the place that, taking his place in the center of the midfield that everyone thought he was. Let's play Ceballos, let's, you know, and let's see what Vinicius can do. If we're going to keep him on the team this year, then he should play.
Yeah, and you mentioned giving these players trust. Vinicius is one of them, and I do want to talk about him, not extensively, but I do want to talk about him a lot, because he has been quite the revelation at this point. But Benzema is another guy who has been given a lot of trust. His form since the calendar year turned to 2019 has just been astounding.
Yeah, and frankly, when Ronaldo left, I had made a prediction that Benzema was a definite threat to score 20-plus goals and really be that center, you know, of Madrid scoring. And I looked like an absolute idiot until about 2 months ago when he suddenly started doing this. And it does seem like he is kind of a streaky player, so this may very well be a streak. But we've seen him when he's on very confident, and he's had years where he's very high confidence. He plays really well and has this in him. He, you know, he has traditionally been kind of an enigma, because people have failed to understand why he keeps starting for Real Madrid. But the truth is that he is kind of one of the few players on Real Madrid's squad who really is a kind of before his time prototypical modern center forward, who is actually as much concerned with creating goals for other people as he is scoring them himself. But, you know, luckily Madrid, when they need goals this season, they now have been able to look to him and say, look, we actually need you to score and not just make really good opportunities for Ronaldo or whoever. And he's actually been able to do that. So, you know, there's a reason that Benzema started for every coach that he's played under, right? And it's not always apparent, and their Benzema can't score goals guy really doesn't agree with me, but, like, he actually is, he's always had this level of talent, and it's nice to see some of that faith kind of paying off for him.
Well, last season for Benzema was just bizarre, because he just could not score for love or money, and but now this season he looks more like the player that we all have sort of known that he is. I mean, Benzema's not terrible, like,
right, and
people like to say that he is.
Well, and he's also been doing this, like, for a long time. He's not one of these younger kids who kind of can be flash in the pan and then the next season they kind of revert. I mean, I think the thing that the takeaway was last season was more of an outlier than people thought it was. I think people were like, oh, he's getting old, and people are very ready to move on from a Real Madrid forward because they want the next top thing. And you know, it probably was that last season was more of an outlier than we really thought. And he is actually still a very high-end, world-class striker.
Yeah, he just ran super unlucky last season. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that wasn't the new norm. But I guess sort of with Ronaldo leaving in the summer, that sort of makes sense why people would be clamoring for a new striker. Especially after that season.
But I wanted to talk about, you know, it's funny, I had a lot of Real Madrid fans and people, like I said, very normal group, very really, really high-end fan base, just losing their absolute minds when they found out Morata was going to go to Atleti. And I, you know, I just can't hate him. I don't care. Like, I don't want your team to win, but I actually really think he is not a bad guy, and he's going to get some playing time, and he's actually, you know, got a little screwed at Chelsea, and so I think it was a great pickup, and good for him. Yeah, frankly. So I know that's not the banter you guys want for me, but I actually think he's a – I think he's still a very high-end player, and it was a very good pickup.
Especially on the deal Atletico got him on, which is a year-and-a-half-long loan and an option to buy of under $50 million. I think it's a good deal, and he's – even if he ends up struggling mightily, I think it was still a deal, a flyer that they had to take.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with kind of Diego Costa maybe underperforming a little bit.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it's definitely worth trying to go out there and see what Morata has in the tank, because we've seen him at various points in his career be a very exciting prospect. And when he can put it all together, he actually does have, you know, some of this Ruud van Nistelrooy style nine in him, but he also has some of the more prototypical Spanish player in him, where he actually will come back and create build up, and he also will press, right? And you know, when he can put it all together, he actually is a very, very, very potent scoring threat, as Madrid, to their detriment, found out when he played for Juventus and scored twice to eliminate Madrid in the semifinals of the Champions League and deprive the world of a Real Madrid Barcelona final. Which
thank God.
Would have been my personal nightmare.
Same. Literal
your
same.
Personal nightmare.
Yeah, I know.
I jumped off a cliff.
That's worse than three Clasicos in 4 weeks.
I don't know if you guys remember the there was a period in like 2000 and I want to say 10 or 11 where Madrid Barca played just. It may have even been four Clásicos. I don't remember.
Was it like four?
It was two in the Champions League.
Yeah.
One in La Liga and then one in the Copa final. And it was just an absolute bloodbath. It was awful.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, I think, what was like 4 and 11 days or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Ooh. Yeah. Shivers. But speaking on Morata, Rob and I have talked about this before. Morata, at 26 years old, has already played for some of the biggest teams in Europe.
Yeah.
He's played in the biggest games. He's won some of the biggest trophies that you can win. And he's still only 26. It's remarkable what his career path has been already, despite some underperformances, despite those compilations of his misses at Chelsea. This is still a guy who is widely understood to still kind of be up and coming and to still have a ton of potential.
Yeah, and that's what I really don't understand. I mean, Chelsea cut bait with him, I think, far too early.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that they wanted to move on, but, like, he is too young and too, you know, well-credentialed, I think, to move on from this quickly. He just, you know, and there was a fair amount of bad luck for him at Chelsea, and, like, because I feel like if you have a striker as talented as Morata, when you make a miss like some of the ones that you would see in those compilations, my feeling is there's more psychologically going on than there is that he's actually not good, right? Like if you're Morata, who's won the Champions League, scored in every competition he's been in, won leagues from across the world, right? Spain, Italy, I mean. And this guy has been like the crunch time scorer for two very high end clubs, and then suddenly he's missing like sitters or tap ins. You gotta feel like it's both bad luck and maybe a little bit of the yips going on, but it's not that this guy is bad, because he's really not, and he's young enough that I think there's definitely still a chance that he improves on his previous form. And learns the game better, and especially under a coach like Sarri, I would have been really interested to see him get more playing time and maybe turn around his form. But no, they decided to cut bait, and I think Atletico made a great decision to jump in and bring him on, because, I mean, it is essentially riskless deal for Atletico, right? Like, this is, I mean, you get a shot at maybe bringing in this very high-end striker who still actually has a lot of potential. And if he continues, if he just seems to, like, have his brain broken a little bit and continues to make misses all the time, then you just move on, because you don't actually have to buy him.
If he scores this weekend, what's the bloodbath going to look like on Madrid Twitter?
Oh my God, it's gonna be awful. I think the question also is, like, when he was at Juve and he scored, he didn't celebrate against Madrid, and that, I think, endeared him to a lot of people. But if, like, if he scores this weekend and then just, like, goes nuts, which I think he should, personally, like, that's the correct way, then people will fucking lose their minds.
Well, and that was also when he scored for Juventus against Real Madrid. That was before Real Madrid bought him back and kind of hosed him a little bit. There may be a little bit more animosity at this point, but I agree with you about his confidence. I think he really needed a change of scenery because he was quite good that first half of the season when he first got to Chelsea, but then the Conte show took over and then it just got all fell to pieces.
Exactly. And he is a guy, I mean, he's a guy who Madrid could really have used this year, given the way sort of Madrid have lacked that backup to their front three. I mean, that has allowed Vinicius to kind of come out, but he's someone Madrid could have used. So it's he made the decision that he wanted to move on, and Madrid made the decision they weren't going to fight to keep him in that 2017 season. And, you know, I don't think there's as much animosity there as it perhaps people thought at the time. I think there was just sort of a decision on both ends that there was going to be a parting of the ways because Madrid, I think, there were a number of players where it was like, well, I'm going to leave if you keep Zidane, and people, because they were never, you know, Zidane's favorites. They weren't his centerpieces, and Morata was one of them, and Bale was another one, and Bale decided to stick around, and then Zidane left, and, you know, now Bale's not, you don't hear any murmurs of Bale leaving, and I think if Morata had stuck around one more year, perhaps he would have been, you know, grown into a more of a role, especially last season when he really could have had more of a role with Benzema just not performing.
Turning back to Madrid for a second, Vinicius, let's talk about him. As I mentioned, kind of a revelation. Gabe, he's first, he was in Castilla. Well, very first, he was talking about loaning him out. Then he was at Castilla. Now he is starting week in, week out. Another really good display in the midweek Clásico in the Copa. Yeah. Scored against Alaves in the last round. What has he brought to this team? And at 18 years old, how has he been able to adjust so relatively quickly?
I don't know. I have no fucking idea how he's been able to adjust so quickly. None of us thought this was going to happen. We all were like, this kid has really, really, really high potential, like, could be an absolute future Ballon d'Or winning type talent, but he is incredibly raw, and we had all of these scouting reports, all these people that I trust, including my own eyes, were all telling me that this wouldn't happen, but here we are, sitting here, and I have no idea how he did this. The question, I think, is what he's brought to this team is a great question, and I actually personally credit his kind of, you know, addition to the squad to Madrid's turnaround in fortunes. Him and the reintroduction of a much more informed Modric, who is still the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah.
But what he's brought, really, I think, is a sense of joy. And Madrid had been previously sort of a lifeless, listless team. And this kid comes onto the pitch, and he's just making the entire game fun for everyone, for the fans, he's making it fun for the other players, and, you know, this, he plays with that kind of old school Brazilian jogo bonito, which they just love this sport and love being out there, and his, you see him all the time, he has like the biggest smile on his face, and he's just going to take people on, and sometimes that shit's not going to come off, but when it does, the whole stadium gasps, and he like makes a nice pass and they all applaud him. And there is that energy that he, that joy that he brings to the pitch that, I mean, this is a team that has won everything over the last few years. They are incredibly self-satisfied, and it's really hard to motivate them. But when you have someone like him who's hasn't been there or whatever and is like, I actually do want to prove myself, that excitement, that energy infects the other players, and they all sort of play up to his excitement and confidence level, and that's been showing, I think.
It's in the way he kind of glides, the way he just loves to cut inside, and his speed on the ball is just remarkable. He's just a really fast player. He thinks fast, he plays fast, and that does offer a lot of excitement and a change of pace, and I think he's going to be one of the keys to this game, assuming he starts, which I assume he's going to. He's going to be one of the keys.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, tactically, this is the, my analysis is absolutely not tactical, but tactically, he also does offer something that Madrid has been needing, which is much more directness and an ability to, instead of kind of pass the ball around to find the one perfect pass, to just try things and dribble at people and maybe, you know, always have to be, you have to have the other team keep you in mind. So even when he doesn't have the ball, the threat of his pace is so substantial that you have to have a player kind of shade onto him, which gives the other players a little bit more space to work with. And that, and the combination of him and Benzema's kind of resurgence, has created a tactical, real, you know, tactical problem for coaches coming at Madrid, because you have to both account for, you know, if Benzema right now is going to get the ball in the area, he very well could score. So you have to put someone on him. And then Vinicius has been such a problem because, you know, you need to find... he will exploit a mismatch at any point in the game, so you have to plan for that as well. So tactically, he opens up a lot more areas of the pitch for Madrid to exploit than, you know, when they were just starting, let's say Lucas Vazquez, who he is what he is. He's sort of I think you guys described him as a workmanlike player. That's exactly right. He's just a winger. He's a winger from the old school of wingers, which is, you know, sort of Solari's whole thing. He's not really a modern tactical coach. He likes his players to have specific positions. And if you're starting him across from, Bale, but Bale forced to stay in one position, right? Bale's much more of a more modern player who likes to swap positions and find space. And that's just not the kind of person that Lucas Vazquez is willing to do that with. But with Vinicius really also does play pegged to a wing, but also has this, even despite that, he has this amazing amount of pace, this dribbling ability that I think is actually beyond what we'd expected. And like the cojones, right, to take people on and just run at them with the ball and not worry if, you know, perhaps they steal it from him. And he has a very high number of turnovers, but he also has a very high number of successful dribbles. So it brings that aspect to Solari's scheme that was very needed.
Yeah, Rob, let's talk about who is going to try to stop Vinicius this weekend. Cholo doesn't know who his right back is going to be yet. It's going to be either Arias or Juan Fran. I would much rather it be Arias, but it's probably going to be Juan Fran, knowing Cholo in big games. No Koke yet, no Saul yet. So how do Atletico stop him?
I'm going to guess, and this may be going out on a limb, but they're going to foul him a lot. Telling Atletico, I think that might be the plan. I think absolutely Arias is a better match for him because he can actually run at this point. I quite like Vinicius. I thought Madrid signing him and Rodrigo at the same time was really smart, just to snitch two of the highest potential players out of Brazil when they were still so young was a smart idea, even if they were just lottery tickets. I think it'll be really interesting to see how it does. Obviously, it's going to be a really big game. We'll see how he adapts to it. He certainly hasn't shown any fear yet, but... you know, maybe if Juan Fran goes clattering into him about 20 times, that'll change.
Yeah. Well, honestly, that would have been my thought as well. Like, I think it's less about assuming he'll, like, shrink in front of the moment, because we saw him not shrink when he was playing in the Camp Nou against Barcelona. But it's more about, I'm not sure that his whole thing is going to work as well with a team that is kind of centered defensively and is willing to contest some of these 50-50 balls and going really hard on someone who's trying to dribble past them. Or let's say he gets past someone, then, you know, doing a more professional foul and just taking him down. I mean, it's, we'll see. But one of the things in our scouting report that I've continue to believe is true of him is that he isn't fully physically developed. So I don't think he's as strong as he will be in even 2 years. And that strength is actually going to be necessary to again in a game where Atleti very well may decide that the correct way to play this kid is to hit him. And you need to be able to deal with that if you're going to be a very top-level striker.
Well, with that being said, also, we shouldn't ignore the fact that he did absolutely get blown up at times in Brazil, because that does happen to all their good young players. Brazilian league, they don't take any prisoners. But, yeah, so I think it'll be a really interesting matchup to whoever he's up against. But I think Arias would certainly be the better foil for Vinicius.
Yeah, I have to agree. Although last year in this fixture, Juan Fran outpaced Cristiano, so you never know.
That was our Twitter header forever.
That glorious moment was indeed our Twitter header for a good 6 months. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. I could laugh at Cristiano now that he's gone, right? That's cool. Real Madrid fans won't attack me for that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're fine.
No fear.
It's totally normal to me ever since I did my show about his sexual assault allegations. No one is trying to dox me or send me death threats or anything.
How dare you? How dare you? Well, maybe we'll see you got the new number 7. It's okay. It's fine. There's no reason to stress out. Mariano's here.
Mariano, who may be back from injury, finally, for the first time in months.
Yeah.
But maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the questions on Madrid's side is actually also who they're going to start on opposite Vinicius and Benzema. And, you know, it's a question, because Solari has seemed to, again, prefers this kind of more rigid structure, especially when playing against teams that may try to break on Madrid. So Lucas Vazquez does actually fit that structure a little bit better than Bale, but I personally believe that, especially against a team like Atleti, where you're going to have, a fair number of very physically imposing players who are going to want to stamp their authority on that part of the pitch, having someone like Bale, who is also incredibly strong in addition to being, very well-talented, and just kind of accepting that he's going to drift and try to find space, is a better decision than Lucas Vazquez, who, as a type of, kind of classic winger, is also kind of small and will get bodied around a little bit. I think I would play Bale there, and it's an interesting question, though, because my guess is that he'll play Lucas Vazquez. I think that's probably who he'll start.
I know someone who's not going to play is Isco.
That's true. Isco will almost certainly not play. yeah, I know that no one has fully explained to me what the fuck is going on with that, actually. No, and the truth is that I don't even think that the Madrid gossip papers really know. My guess, and I think this is the general consensus, is that there is a little bit of an animosity between the two sides, but also there's this feeling that Isco doesn't respect Solari and has not been trying hard in his training. And Solari is the type of person who, as it turns out, really cares that you give 100, 110% in every single training session. And, hard to fault Solari for that, but it's easy to fault him for not, running out one of the most exciting creators in the entire world and just kind of sticking this guy on the bench to rot there and then probably be... I mean, Bartomeu at Barcelona is literally trying to come in and has talked about trying to come in and scoop Isco out of Real Madrid, which is absolutely insane. Like, that's unacceptable to allow that kind of talent to go to waste like that. So, he won't play. There's fault on both sides, but I think this is up to Madrid board a little bit to figure out which one of these two people are really more indispensable to the team. And my hope is that they realize that Solari is actually a junk coach. He's trash. And Isco is a brilliant player. And so, you move on from Solari in the summer. You tell Isco, look, we have you under contract. Why don't you give us another year or 6 months with whoever our new coach is, Pochettino, let's say. And then from there, we'll see if you still won, and then at that point we'll start working on a sale. I mean,
hasn't that been what they've been telling Isco like the last few years? Like, don't worry, we promise. Eventually, you're gonna be a first team player all the time. We really, really promise.
What's annoying about that is that yes, I think that's what they've been telling him. But if that is true, then Isco is just fucking crazy because he has been a first team player. Like, he's like, well, what do you want? Like, you actually are a first team player. You are the starting lineup of, you know, almost both of the Champions League finals the last 2 years. You've been a crucial part of Zidane's team. I mean, what else do you want, you insane person? like, this is the first time where Isco has actually had a real gripe. He's actually played more minutes than almost everyone on the team the last few years, other than, like, Ronaldo and Navas. I mean, it's crazy.
And he really, I mean, there has always been, in the last few years, there's always been drama around him being sort of unsettled at Real Madrid, which I've always found weird. Yeah, it's bizarre.
He's a messy bitch who loves drama.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so he probably won't play. That's sort of the rundown there. What's amazing to me is that there hasn't been a more coherent story coming out about what's happening. And I think that's because so obviously the people that shape the narrative of Real Madrid more than almost anyone else are these two Spanish dailies, right, Marca and AS, and they, I think, don't really know which side they want to win. Because they have historically very much pushed, you know, Isco as, you know, all should always start. Isco is like Spanish golden boy. That's their guy, and so they've really bumped him up. But this season, they've seen other Spanish players playing in the positions that Isco might play, and then they've also seen Isco, I think, behave genuinely badly, right? And genuinely mistreat Solari. And Solari is sort of a coach that they've all known forever. He's from the Cantera, all that stuff. So I think there's an honest to God question about which side the two papers want to pick, and because of that, they haven't formed a coherent narrative that they're trying to push.
Yeah, that all makes sense, knowing those two papers. Rob, from Real Madrid back to Atletico, we talked about Vinicius as potentially the key in this game for Madrid. Who's going to be Atletico's key? The key player? I've got Thomas Lemar.
Yeah, it could be Thomas Lemar, I think. But, I mean, the obvious one is clearly Antoine Griezmann, because if he doesn't score, then Atleti aren't going to have much of a chance if you want to look at how many goals everyone else has contributed. But, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see who plays on the wings for Atleti, because we still haven't seen any kind of coherent system on the wings. Lemar has been good for Simeone's system, but not good in terms of fulfilling his own potential. So it'll be interesting to see how he's deployed, although we sort of know what it's going to be. He's going to be on the wing, and he's going to be working really hard, but not allowed to really do the creative stuff.
Let's hope that changes, because I really think this could be a game that he makes his mark. He leaves a stamp on this type of game. He played really, really well in the Super Cup. I know it was 6 months ago, but he was given more freedom there to kind of be on the ball and dictate play, and he was really impressive on that night. So if he repeats that, then maybe that lessens the need for Griezmann to go out and score a brace?
Yeah.
Who knows?
So, although I would rather Lemar be hanging them in, but, you know, that's fine. We need Griezmann, basically. Although I think having Morata on the team now certainly makes his team a lot more dangerous than it would have been if Nikola Kalinic was starting alongside Griezmann.
Yeah, wouldn't be terribly excited about Kalinic, who is, like, if Atleti's four forwards, he's probably fifth. Like, not to diss Kalinic or anything, but he's not Atleti's best option.
Yes.
Yes. Just yes.
I actually think that, so Vinicius is an important player for Real Madrid, but I think the key is for Madrid in this match, as it has been in all of the kind of renaissance under Solari, is that Modric is back to his form. If he has a good game, Madrid are very hard to beat because he is just that good. And anyone who was complaining about him winning the I mean, he is an actually the beating soul of this beating heart soul of this team. And if he comes out, you know, gassed up, ready to go, and puts in one of those classic Modric performances where he's both everywhere on the ball, creating everything, and also just stifling in defense, which people really underrated him, I think that that actually will be the real question for Madrid. I don't know. I mean, because that kind of performance creates opportunities for other people like Vinicius, and it's very hard to plan against a player like Modric.
Because he's just so good.
You stopping yourself when you were gonna say people complaining about you.
Yes, because we complained about it.
I caught that.
We complained.
I did. I remember who the other person was.
Yeah, you remembered where you were.
Know your place.
I'm obsessed with him, though. I mean, I also love. I mean, I think Griezmann is absolutely the question that Atleti has against Madrid, because he is just similar to Modric, impossible to plan against if he's playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd certainly agree with that. I think one of the biggest revelations for Atleti this season has been the sort of central midfield, because the last couple of years it's been a little bit in flux and never really stable, but with the addition of Rodri, it's become so much more stable, so I feel a lot more confident about that area of the pitch than I would have done 12 months ago.
Yeah, Rodri has just... we love Rodri almost as much as you love Modric. Probably.
Pretty much, yes.
Like, however much you and Keon love Modric, that's about as much as we love Rodri.
Yeah, you love Rodri enough to name your child
after? You know what? I would name my firstborn son Rodrigo. I'm going to do it.
He's good. He's good.
Well, I'm going to name my firstborn son Marcelo. That's my...
it should be a good one. I mean, I think Rodri needs to establish himself as a prototypical Atleti number 14 and first minute of the game, clatter somebody. Get on a booking immediately.
Don't put it past him.
Right.
All right, gentlemen. We are just about wrapping up here. Scoreline prediction time. Gabe, you first. What do you got?
I have 1-1 again. I actually think that's a strong guess.
I'm going to be bold and say 2-0 to Atletico.
You put me in a rock and hard place here, gentlemen. I like the 1-1 draw, but I'll go for a 0-0, just an ultra boring.
Yeah.
I'll go, because I do think it will be a draw, which absolutely helps nobody.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
It just it feels like the teams are actually really evenly matched, and I don't see an obvious answer of which team has a clear advantage at each position. I think that Atletico are also better coached marginally, but I think Madrid may have a slight talent advantage as they have the last few years. But I believe that Simeone's coaching is enough better than Solari's to actually neutralize some of that. So I just don't see where there's an obvious answer in terms of which team is better. So I mean, it's not every shit happens on the day, right? Like, who the hell knows? Like, it could come out and, like, you know, absolute, you know, screamer from Griezmann from 50 yards or whatever in the first minute, and then, all right, well, I'm probably wrong, but, like, who the hell knows?
Yeah, I think it'll certainly be close, but those individual moments will probably be what defines this game if someone's going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, we generally know how Atleti are going to play this. They're going to have about 35% possession and probably 3 or 4 shots on target, if that. They're going to try to muck things up. Madrid are going to have a lot of the ball, if not all of the ball. And it might be boring and conservative, but also fun.
Yeah.
Because of all the talent that's out there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And there will be blood.
Oh, yeah.
There will be bloodshed. And that is a good place to end Colchonero Chat 150. Thank you all for listening, especially to our Colchonero Chat amigos at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. You guys mean the world to us, and thank you for sticking with us now for God, almost three seasons now, 150 episodes. That's a lot of episodes, and it just means a lot. So thank you all so much for listening and contributing. Gentlemen, Gabe, Rob, thank you so much for joining me. Anything either of you want to plug before we head out of here?
Go ahead, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a huge crossover in audiences, but we have our Managing Madrid podcast also. I also want to say congratulations, man, 150 episodes, that's awesome. You guys, this show rules. I love coming on and joining you. So this is, I think, my third time coming on, and I always enjoy myself, so.
Well, Gabe, thank you so much. Rob, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
And we will catch you guys after the Derby. Until then, adios.